Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Each of you woke up on January 1st, 2025, and you said, "New year, that means new sermon series," and you would be so right. My name is Emily Skates. I'm on the pastoral team here, and I'm really thrilled to get to open up our new series, which will be in the Old Testament. We will be studying the story of Jacob. Which is great because the picture of Jacob is a picture of the life of a disciple. And that's great and all because we as a church, we want to grow as disciples. But can I tell y'all the real reason I'm excited about this sermon series? Now, you know, the Old Testament tends to herald the kind of heroes we want to look up to and emulate. Think about it. We've got David, the Goliath slayer. We've got Joshua, the brave voyager. Elijah, the voice of power. Esther, the national defender. The list goes on and on and on. But Jacob is not that. And thank God. Rather, I want to say that Jacob is the real life of a disciple. What you're going to find in here are no Instagram filters. There's not going to be any fad spiritual diet to kick us off for the New Year's resolution. No, the story of Jacob is brutally honest about the things we face but rarely talk about. So if you'll open up your Bibles with me, we will be in Genesis 35. And what's interesting is to start this series, we're going to begin at the end of Jacob's life. This will give us a bird's eye view to see what is it that we're actually diving into. So if you'll open your Bibles with me to Genesis 35, but first let me pray. Let's bow our heads. God, we are here because we know you are here. We open up the word because you tell us it is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. So, Lord, we open our hearts and we say, come and do what only you can do. Speak to us, shape us, mold us, stir our hearts to desire you even more. And, Lord, I ask that I would decrease and you would increase. Lord, that my word would be true to your word and your word alone. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Genesis 35, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 15. Hear these words. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be called your name. So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you. And I will give the land to your offspring after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, right away, what we are seeing in here is a God who is initiating. A God who is intentional, a God who is intervening in this random man's life named Jacob. God appears, he speaks, he blesses. And the first thing he does is he gives Jacob a new name. But then he also makes that name a reality in his life. Look back at verse 10 with me. God says to Jacob, yep, your name is Jacob, but no longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel shall be called your name. Now, here's the thing. Jacob literally means heel. Yep, you heard that right. For one thing, Jacob came out of the womb grabbing the heel of his twin brother Esau. Now, I don't know what was going on in the mind of his parents if they thought, oh, that is so cute. Let's name him something to remember this by. Maybe his parents were so tired and stressed because they had twins and they were like, you know what? Let's just call him Heel because it seems like he likes heels. I don't know. But the Hebrew, yes, it means heel, but Hebrew always has deeper layers of meaning. And so I was trying to think, what is a good way to explain the true deeper meaning of Jacob's name? And I thought I'd test your Texan culture. I want to show a picture. Let's see if you can name what this is. Y'all have seen this at the PBR, at the rodeo, right? They let out this cute, innocent baby calf who's running for fear of his life. And what happens? These two men on big horses come. And what does the first one do? They rope the cow by the horns. What does the second guy do? He comes in and he ropes the cow by the heel. In other words, he Jacobs the cow. He trips the cow up. He seizes the cow. And this is the theme that we're going to see throughout Jacob's life. He is a schemer. He is a deceiver. He is a tripper-upper of anything that he can get his hands on. That is Jacob, the heel. So this is good news, right? When God comes on the scene and he says, hey, you're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. Now, literally, Israel is translated the God fighter, okay? Like, I can imagine Jacob kind of puffing up his chest going around like, yeah, they call me the God fighter. So what we see is Jacob goes from this lowly heel to the God fighter. God gives him this new name, but it's a name that God has to accomplish for Jacob. God has to make it a reality in his life. You see, Jacob can't earn this name. He can't climb up to heaven and wrestle God in his throne room. He can't seek a relationship with God and pursue God on his own. The opposite has to happen. Rather, God, being like a father who gets down on the floor with his toddler, in the same way God comes down to Jacob, he pursues him. He initiates a relationship with him. And he gives him the title, God Fighter. So God gives him a new name and he makes it a reality. Now I know y'all are sitting here asking, why is this important to me? And I'm glad you asked. Verse 11 is headed right there. If you'll look at it with me, God continues talking to Jacob and he says, a nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we know who this nation Israel is, but who is this company of nations? It's us. You see, Jacob's story is our story. We are this company of nations, God's people, who just like Jacob are given a new name and God makes it a reality in our lives. No longer are we sinners, but called saints. No longer are we lost, but found. No longer are we broken, but whole. No longer are we unclean, but holy. No longer are we Jacob, but God fighters. How? Well, in the same way he did to Jacob, God would come down to us. He would enter into the wrestling ring of our world. And he who knew no sin became our sin, became our Jacob. And he bore the cross. He paid the penalty of death so that we would be called the righteousness of God. God came down and was willing to lose so you and I would win. He was willing to give himself to the point of death so that we would no longer be called Jacob, but God fighters. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a God fighter? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because this is the truth. That God is the one who gives us the new name and he makes it a reality, and he has already done that on the cross. And we as disciples, we are called to live in this new identity. We are called to believe it, to declare over our lives and over the lives of one another here. Do we believe it? Now, here's where it gets messy. Y'all ready for this? You need to roll up your sleeves and lean in with me, okay? We are going to head into verse 14. Hear these words. And Jacob set up a pillar. Now, I'm so proud of Jacob. It's like he's trying to live in this new reality, right? He's setting up a pillar, an altar to worship and praise the Lord, to live in this new reality that God has created for him. But did you notice? What name did the narrator call him? Did he write, Israel set up a pillar? No. He wrote, Jacob, the lowly heel, the deceiver, the schemer, the tripper up of everything in life, set up a pillar. Now, I don't think this was an accident, because as you'll see throughout the story of Jacob, the narrator calls him Jacob almost twice as much as he calls him Israel. Why? Well, it's simple. Jacob, who is the God fighter, keeps Jacobing. He's given a new name. God has given him this new reality, and Jacob keeps Jacobing. He's got that old Jacob tied around his neck. He still goes back to the old way of things again and again and again. And y'all, isn't this the reality of every single follower, of every single disciple of Jesus Christ? That we've been given a new name and a new reality, and yet we go on Jacobing. We go on sinning. We go on messing up and falling back into sin and temptation and despair. And here's the thing. I'm so grateful that Jacob is in here. I'm so grateful that Jacob forces us to look at this truth. Because here's what happens when we do not admit this reality. What happens is not only does shame begin to build when we struggle and when we fall into sin, thinking nobody else is going through this, thinking we've got to hide. Not only do we feel this immense amount of shame, but a very serious question begins to bubble up. And it's the question of, am I really saved? Can God still love me? Have I ruined my salvation? I can guarantee you there are college students all over the nation waking up this morning asking this question because of the decisions from last night. I can guarantee you there are adult children asking this question about their aging parents who are no longer someone they recognize. I can guarantee you that there are many of us in here asking this question after falling into sin, after falling into temptation, especially when it comes after these two words we all know too well: never again. We all have our never agains, right? Never again will I take that drink. Never again will I go to that website. Never again will I gossip. Never again will I eat a whole half gallon of Bluebell ice cream while I'm at home alone. Never again until we do. Until we Jacob. And if you're here this morning and you are struggling with this in your own life, you're not alone. And here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Is that it is not based on us and what we do. It is based on what God has already done and accomplished on the cross. Our salvation, not even for a fraction of a second, rests in our feeble Jacobing hands. Rather, it rests in God's powerful, enduring hands alone. This is the good news, that just like Jacob, living down to his name, God always lives up to his. And now this is not a message to say, well, just go on sinning. But it is a cry to no longer despair, to no longer hide, to no longer pretend or try to get it together on your own, but rather cling to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Cling to the one who's given us a new name and has already made it a reality that we are righteous, we are saints, we are saved, we are his own children in his kingdom. And we cannot undo it. I'm sorry, we just aren't powerful enough. And that is the good news. And as disciples, we are called to cling to that good news. And so I have two questions that I want you to sit with for 2025. The first one is, how are you going to keep hold of this gospel every day in 2025? Martin Luther says that we are to beat the gospel into our heads every single day. How are we going to remember it every morning before we go to work? Even before we pray or read our Bibles. You know, I wake up automatically assuming that I have wandered from the gospel. So much so that I have written on my Bible the gospel, the good news to remind me every morning. And there are words from Charles Spurgeon that say, I'm a poor sinner. That is all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. So how will we keep hold of this gospel truth? But second, will you keep coming back for this series to see a real picture of a real disciple, to learn a story that really is our story? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is so near to us. That you're a God who decided to come to us, give us a new name, give us a new reality as children of God. Lord, help us to receive. Help us to believe and help us to live into this new reality each and every day this upcoming year. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week, we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.